Welcome to the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. This podcast is brought to you by Becker's Healthcare in conjunction with Intuitive. Intuitive is a global technology leader in minimally invasive care and a pioneer of robotic-assisted surgery. This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. I'm thrilled today to be joined by Dr. Rob Corona. Rob runs as CEO of the SUNY Upstate Medical University. We're going to talk to him about his leadership journey, some of his thoughts on strategy, what it's like running a medical school today, and more. Dr. Corona, can you take a moment and introduce yourself?
Yeah, thank you very much. So I am Bob Corona, Robert Corona, and I'm the CEO of University Hospitals, or two hospitals in Syracuse, part of the SUNY State University of New York system. I got there as I'm a pathologist, a brain pathologist, neuropathologist, and came to the university in 2012. I trained there back in the early 90s, and after a couple years of doing some innovative things related to telecommunications, which all of a sudden has become exciting, I was recruited into the medical device industry to work as Welsh Allyn's chief medical officer. So I spent 16 years there. I continued to teach and consult in NeuroPath while I was there. And then in 2012 was offered the position as chair of pathology at SUNY Syracuse. They had just built a brand new biotech accelerator center to foster innovation from the campus, and they asked me to take that over, which I did. Had several different experiences of entrepreneurship with telepathology, and became the head of the faculty practice, and then a couple months later was asked to be the CEO of the hospital. So that's my journey.
What an amazing journey. I mean, did you ever think, coming out of med school and in pathology, that you'd ever end up CEO of a fabulous health system? Did you ever, in your wildest dreams, think that was a career path?
Never in my wildest dreams. I actually, when I started medical school, never thought I'd be, you know, doing brain biopsies and cutting brains for a living either. It was a series of meeting the right people and having doors open for me, and be willing to take a kind of a disciplined risk. I had no formal training in computers and communications, but kind of self-taught, and that got me the position doing medical informatics back in the 90s when it wasn't fashionable, and that's what landed me the job at Welsh Allyn. The CEO of Welsh Allyn said, "Hey, we're an optical mechanical based company. We want to get into the processor world. Will you help us?" And they were a $200 million company at the time, and they grew into the billions during my 16 years there by switching over to doing more advanced medical devices.
And take a moment and talk to us about what advice you would have for people developing their own career journey. And you've obviously taken some turns. You've called it discipline risk. Open mind, obviously, but talk about what advice you have for somebody looking at developing a career.
I would say to just constantly be reinventing yourself, continue to read and look at what new opportunities exist, and get the skill set to at least be conversant with the vocabulary. That'll get you pretty far, and then you can figure out how deep you want to go into things. I just felt it was very fortunate that I understood computing and communications. And then when I got into pathology, the molecular diagnostics started to take off. And I didn't have a great understanding of that at the time, but got a grant to open up a laboratory, molecular diagnostics, and that just exploded our biotech accelerator, which, you know, now has proved to be great. We're using tons of laboratory diagnostics for the COVID crisis, as well as the computing and communication. So I guess I was kind of lucky with my guesses, but it was because that I largely just kept an open mind to almost any opportunity and just kept reinventing myself on a daily basis.
I mean, such a fascinating situation and career journey. You now have a similar template, but now you're doing something similar for the university health system there, for the health system. How do you look at strategy for the system? How do you think about that?
So I've always been a very adaptive type of leader. I am really pushing our institution now to come out of this very resilient, and I don't mean resilient to go back to the same old thing. I mean resilient, almost like a skeletal muscle that you condition, right? That it, you keep challenging it, and it keeps getting stronger and stronger. So with this pandemic, I've challenged our institution to come out as a reimagined institution. And the four pillars we established way before the pandemic still survive. We focus on bringing our quality up to improving the experience in the hospital to that of the experience you would get at a high-end retail institution or place. We're very focused on using technology as what we would call an unfair advantage. We have a passion for sustainability. We want to be one of the greenest hospitals in the country. And we are fortunate that we have a SUNY, a state university environmental science college, about 500 yards away from our hospital, our main downtown hospital. And we're leveraging the expertise there to really focus on becoming a more sustainable institution.
Well, fantastic. So you've talked about technology is an advantage, sustainability, customer experience, and having this sort of customer experience you'd have at the highest end retail experience. What other thoughts and strategy? I think I missed one because you said four pillars, and I think I've got three there.
So the quality, we're focusing on quality. We had low quality scores. We deal with a tough patient population. And very complex. We're the only level one trauma center, only children's hospital, poison control, burn unit. You know, we get it all at our institution and cover about 21 counties. So it's very hard to sustain a high quality institution, but we've now invested in a new quality officer and a quality team. And, our scores are starting to improve. That's the one. The patient experience, I had an individual who runs a casino come as a patient, and he said, you have it all here, except for you don't have a retail experience for the patient. Your doctors and nurses are amazing, but it's getting into your hospital, the access, the convenience, those kind of things you need to improve on, and we've been focusing on that. And then the technology is a real passion of mine, and my contacts in the medical device world and in industry have helped bring a significant number of high level players to our institution. And then the sustainability has been a real success so far.
So that's fantastic. So it's really focused on constantly improving quality, constantly improving patient experience, really work on sustainability for the long run and tapping into local resources for that as well. And then technology is sort of an unusual advantage. Talk about the medical school there. What's that like? And tell us a little bit about that.
So it's a state university. Most of the students come from New York State. We used to get a pretty significant subsidy from the state of New York. The medical school still gets a little bit, but the hospital gets absolutely no support from the state any longer. So it was funny. We asked some of our local politicians how much support they thought our hospital got from the state, and they were talking in the range of $800, $900 million. And when we told them that we get zero, and yet we still generate a margin, I think they were pretty impressed with our operations. So the medical school has about 160 students. The students rotate through our two hospitals, our university hospital and our community hospital, and also some other smaller hospitals in the region. We also have a rural medicine program And we have a secondary campus in Binghamton, New York, which is about 75 miles south of Syracuse, where the main campus is. The medical school has been around a long time, has a great history of accepting the first woman. It started in Geneva, New York, was part of Syracuse University at one point, and then became part of the State University of New York, I think in the 60s.
Well, magnificent. And congratulations on the whole system, the medical school, so important. Hopefully you keep some of those physicians that graduate in New York, in upstate New York, and help take care of the community. What an amazing career and job you've done, Dr. Corona. I want to thank you for joining us and taking some time out. It's an amazing career journey, and it's an inspiration to everybody, and just fantastic, and in a great sense of open mind, discipline, risk. I love those two concepts, as well as your four pillars and strategy. So thank you for joining us, Dr. Corona.
Thank you. It's been a real pleasure, and I hope you have a great day.
Thank you for joining us on the Becker's Healthcare Podcast today, for listening in. What a pleasure to visit with Dr. Robert Corona, the CEO of SUNY Upstate, the University Health System. Dr. Corona, finish me out there and tell me the exact name of the system, because I'm an invite, I had it not exactly right.
It's the State University of New York, Upstate Medical University. And then my role is with both the medical college, which is part of the four colleges on the university side, and then CEO of the two hospitals in the system.
Well, fantastic. What a great asset you are to the community. What a magnificent system. Thank you, Dr. Corona, very much.
Thank you. It's been a real pleasure. It was nice to meet you virtually.
Thank you very much for listening today. This podcast was brought to you by Becker's Healthcare in conjunction with Intuitive. Intuitive is the global technology leader in minimally invasive care and a pioneer of robotic-assisted surgery.